Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. In this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, we dive deep into the pretty brutal and ugly history of our intelligence apparatus in our country. It's going to shock you. Does Project Artichoke mean anything to you? Well, it will by the end of this episode. What has our government been doing to infiltrate and manipulate political discussion and organizing in our country? This episode is one of the most important we've done in quite some time. Text it to your friends. And I say buckle up quite often, but you better buckle up. This is one that is probably the greatest violation of a thought crime we've ever done here on the Charlie Kirk Show. We are now treading into choppy waters. You see, most conservative podcasts wouldn't dare talk about this topic. It's kind of the third rail. You know it's there. You don't want to look at it. Instead, you want to talk about low taxes. Well, if you really want to find out what's happening in our country, actually happening, this is the episode for you. It will push your boundaries and expand your horizons. But what if I told you we're all living through a massive psychological operation that might be funded by your very tax dollars? So brace yourself. Challenge your preconceptions. It's made possible by those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. We're going to get a lot of incoming for this episode. We might have to pay a price, but it's worth it. So support us. And I want to thank Jeff, Larry, Steve, Cynthia. And of course, I want to thank Carl from North Carolina for your generous support at charliekirk.com/support. If you feel compelled throughout this episode to support us, that's the place for you, charliekirk.com/support. Time for us to go into the unknown and the forbidden. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, guys, you guys have heard me talk with my friend Kelly Shackelford before. Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty is a good person. Look, we've talked about court packing. It's the tool of left-wing authoritarians. Hugo Chavez packed Venezuela's Supreme Court with his socialist cronies and paved the way for his tyrannical regime. But now Joe Biden and American socialist radicals want to pack our Supreme Court with four new liberal justices. Court packing isn't some policy idea to improve our courts. It's a coup. A coup to take away your constitutional freedoms and turn America into a socialist country. That's why First Liberty Institute, the largest legal organization in the nation dedicated to defending religious liberty in America, is doing something about it. First Liberty recently launched SupremeCoup.com. That's SupremeCoup.com to serve as a one-stop shop in the fight against court packing and help patriots like you learn the truth about what's happening in the courts. But more importantly, there's a big take action button so you could do something to stop the Supreme Court coup. So do me a favor, support Kelly Shackelford in this and get involved. If you want to defend our God-given freedoms and stop the left's court packing scheme, head over to SupremeCoup.com/Kirk. That's SupremeCoup.com/Kirk. SupremeCoup.com/Kirk. This hour is going to be one of the most important we've done in quite a while. And it's thanks to a trailblazer, Tucker Carlson, who shocked the world last night on television. This is something that Republicans do not want to admit, but they better wise up. We've been warning about this. We talked about this at great length. About a month and a half ago, when the raids were happening against Mayor Giuliani and the targeting of Dinesh D'Souza and Steve Bannon and many others, where the criminal justice system was being used as a political super PAC with jail time, that their in-kind contribution was not television advertisements. Instead, it was that we'll just go put your political opposition in jail. Joe Biden has a new national strategy for countering domestic terrorism. Now, I'm still working my way through this. But here's what's happening. After the 6th of January, and after what happened at the Capitol, the Democrats realized they were given a gift. The Democrats realized that they could, under the disguise, under the theater, and while wearing the costume of fighting domestic terrorism, they now have a massively funded, widely appealing excuse to go eliminate and extinguish their political opponents. It's a perfect situation for them. Democrats are gleeful because now they get to take pieces off the chessboard. They get to devise a scheme that goes after Trump supporters, donors, supporters, people in media, all under the excuse of countering domestic terrorism. Now, of course, they're not serious about countering domestic terrorism. If they were, they'd go after BLM Incorporated. They would go after Antifa. They would go after the cartel. They would go after street gangs. You know, before worrying about Trump supporters, why don't they worry about the Bloods and the Crips killing each other over 500 people a year in the streets of Chicago? No, but the real problem is if you voted for Donald Trump, then we're going to come after you. So Tucker Carlson kind of shocked the world yesterday. And you could tell journalists don't even know how to cover this. They're calling him a conspiracy theorist, of course, because they don't know how else to handle him. Now, I'm going to go through this segment by segment. And we're going to tell you exactly what we know and what we think we know and what we don't yet know. Those are the three categories we're going to go. What we know, what we think we know, what we don't yet know. And this is all based on a story by Darren Beatty from Revolver News, revolver.news, that asks the obvious question. What was, if any, the federal government's involvement in January 6th? Did they have unindicted co-conspirators? Did they have people on federal government payroll that were within the ranks of these groups? And if so, why didn't they stop it? What did the federal government know before January 6th? Why is it that Parler, now according to new documents that have been declassified, not declassified, but are now public, Parler went to the FBI and warned them that there was violence being planned? Why didn't they do anything about that? Well, Tucker Carlson goes a step further. Tucker Carlson paints a picture that this entire thing was a false flag operation. Now, this is a very serious topic. I am not treading on this lightly. And Tucker does not say he knows this to be definitively true. He said, Tucker Carlson, a friend of mine, and a man who's willing to talk about things that no one else is willing to talk about, really creates the framework and a compelling starting of an argument. The federal government has to give us some answers, or else a logical person can say that there's something here more than what meets the eye. So let's go piece by piece. He starts with Justin Tyron Roberts talking about how he shot five people in the span of one day, and he admitted he did it because of his hatred of white men. Cut 39, but before you play it, did you hear about this? Justin Tyron Roberts, who shot five people because he hates white people. Do you think you would hear about a story if a white guy shot five black people because he said he hated black people? Why was this not frontline news? Cut 39.
This weekend, police in Columbus, Georgia arrested a 39-year-old man called Justin Tyron Roberts. Over the course of a single day, Roberts shot five separate people in two different states. We know this happened because Roberts has admitted he did it. He also said why he did it. In his confession, police say Roberts, quote, explained that throughout his life, specifically white males had taken from him, so he decided to kill them. In one case, Roberts walked up behind a white man, a total stranger, as he was getting out of his car, and shot him in the back. By any definition, these were crimes of viciousness motivated by race hate. They're not unique in this country, not by a long shot.
And so Tucker continues by saying, in cut 40, that America's leaders are claiming that white supremacy is the greatest threat we face. Is that right? Did white supremacy, is that what is now happening in Chicago, white supremacy? Let's just go through the Chicago statistics year to date. 293 people shot and killed, 1,404 shot and wounded, 1,697 total shot, and 310 total homicides. Almost all of those are black-on-black crime. In 2020, there were 719 people shot and killed, 3,445, 55 people shot and wounded, and 4,174 people total shot, and 792 total homicides. Almost none of that involves white people. It's almost all black on black, or black on Hispanic, or Hispanic on Hispanic, or Hispanic on black. Is white supremacy really the greatest threat facing our country? Play tape.
They're claiming that something called white supremacy, and that's a term they never define, is the single greatest threat we face, a greater threat than Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Here's our thoroughly craven attorney general telling us that very lie today.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
Who are these people? I haven't met them. And how do you define white supremacy? It's a pretty open-ended accusation. Tucker hits it perfectly. You now have this accusation that can be basically portrayed on 56, 57% of the entire American population. If you're white, you're white supremacist, unless we prove otherwise. And therefore, we get the entire national security apparatus to be able to spy on you, infiltrate your groups, audit you, be able to storm down, tear down your door, indict you, imprison you so you never see the light of day. But if you are a black murderer in Chicago, according to the new attorney general, or whatever, the district attorney, you can get released on bail within 6 hours. True story. If you go burn down a city, you could even win an award. In fact, in Minneapolis, did you know that if you go riot and burn, the vice president might bail you out through the Minnesota Freedom Fund? It's true. She did that last summer. Kamala Harris contributed to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which bailed out terrorists. Is that the greatest threat facing our country? Do we see rising crime all across the country because of white supremacy? Are we seeing rising crime against Asian Americans because of white supremacy? No, it's mostly black people going after Asians, actually. And the facts show that. So when Merrick Garland says this, he says, well, it's the FBI's view. This is the greatest threat. Do you notice he never says any numbers? Do you notice when Merrick Garland says that, he never says that, well, it's because of this many incidents. What he's saying is, we're putting it to the front of the line because we can. And most people say, well, it's the FBI. It must be true. And of course, the FBI has never done anything wrong. Just ask Richard Jewell. Oh, wait, you can't. He died. Richard Jewell died because of a character assassination campaign that largely destroyed his entire life, thanks to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And as you dive deeper and deeper into all of this, all of a sudden you realize, hold on a second, they are using this entire racial thing from 1619 Project and the New York Times and all of it to try and then create a very creepy national security apparatus. Of course, the FBI has never done anything wrong because Waco is perfect. Waco is great. Children didn't die at Waco. No, no, no. We've always been at war with Eurasia, not East Asia. You're a racist. Waco is terrific. We know what's going on here, and it's gotta stop. For many Americans, Father's Day is a day to celebrate. For many others, it's a day to get through. Because Father's Day hurts if you don't have a father. The facts are clear. Fatherlessness drives many bad outcomes in America, from teen pregnancy to incarceration. An astounding 85% of youth in prison come from fatherless homes, 20 times the national average. There's a path forward from the grim statistics. That's why I urge you to order a powerful new film called The Streets Were My Father. It features the journey of three inner-city Chicago men from fatherlessness to gangs and from life in prison to prison ministry programs that set them on the road to redemption. As lives, as productive members of society, you see this important and inspirational film. The streaming version and DVDs go to salemnow.com and buy a copy or copies for anyone you know who doesn't have a father or doesn't believe in the power of God to change lives. Go to salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Back in 1975, something very significant happened. There was a bipartisan consensus to try to get information and figure out what exactly was happening in our intelligence and security apparatus. Now, it's pretty amazing how little people know about what our government did before the Church Committee was able to figure this out. So this was chaired by an Ohio senator by the name of Frank Church, a Democrat from Idaho. And it was part of a series of investigations, which was known as the Year of Intelligence. It had a counterpart in the House of Representatives called the Pike Committee. What the committee found was stunning. And we have no such assurances, by the way, that these practices aren't still going on. This looked into the IRS, looked into the CIA and the FBI. This was 1975. Now, I can say this. This shocked the American people to such a fundamental level. It did put the security apparatus in check for at least a decade or a half. So before that, the activist media is like, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. Well, let's just start with one. Let's just say with a couple examples. You ever hear of Operation Mockingbird? Operation Mockingbird is a very real CIA intelligence agency security apparatus program. It began in the early years of the Cold War, and its goal was to manipulate mass propaganda and news media for government purposes. According to Deborah Davis, Operation Mockingbird recruited leading American journalists into propaganda networks and influenced the operations of the front group. Sound familiar? This was discovered that our own taxpayer dollars was doing in the Church Committee. How about Operation COINTELPRO, otherwise known as the Counterintelligence Program, was a series of covert and illegal projects conducted by the FBI aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, and discrediting and disrupting domestic American political organizations. This is all legit, by the way. You guys can look it up yourself. Look up COINTELPRO, Counterintelligence Program. FBI records, thanks to the Church Committee, shows that targeted groups and individuals the FBI deemed subversive, including feminist organizations, anti-war organizations, civil rights organizations, Martin Luther King Jr., animal rights organizations, the American Indian Movement, Puerto Rican independence movements. And of course, they also infiltrated the KKK. Over 2,000 FBI agents were also active KKK members. Finally, this was revealed and it was discovered in the Church Committee and Pike Committee that our own government was using their money and their resources to infiltrate political organizations, including civil rights organizations and Martin Luther King Jr. That is well known. Martin Luther King Jr. was like the most surveilled man in the last 50 years. How about Operation Artichoke? You guys ever hear that one? Project Artichoke that was revealed in the Church Committee and in the Pike Committee? Project Artichoke was a CIA operation that researched interrogation methods. Operation Artichoke was basically whether or not to determine whether or not a human being could be made to perform an attempted assassination. This project studied hypnosis and forced morphine addiction and the use of other chemicals like LSD. Project Artichoke then led to Project MKUltra, which began in 1953. Project MKUltra, which is through the Office of Scientific Intelligence, otherwise known as Project Bluebird, was coordinated through the United States Army Biological Warfare Laboratories to, quote, be able to identify drugs that could weaken the individual, force confessions through brainwashing and psychological torture, and be able to manipulate subjects' mental states and brain functions for a very specific outcome. Is Project MKUltra still going on? Is Project Artichoke still going on? Is Project COINTELPRO still going on? These are questions that I think we deserve answers to. Instead of Project Artichoke, do we have Project Carrot? Do we have Project Domestel Counter Pro? Or how about Project Defeat White Supremacist Pro? Are these things that are happening right now that we don't know about? The Church Committee and the Pike Committee changed Americans' perspective on the security apparatus for a generation. But most people don't even know about it. We don't teach it in our schools. We don't teach this history in our schools, but we should. And by the way, some conservatives don't even like talking about this because it was Republicans that were using a lot of this stuff. I don't care. It's evil and it's wrong and it shouldn't happen in our country. So the question is this. Is the security apparatus now have Operation Carrot, Operation Domestic Countermove? Is this happening in our country? Did you ever read the fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode? It says that your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, or your internet service provider. How can they even call it incognito? To really stop these people from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used the Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, a hotel, or even at your parents' home. Without ExpressVPN, every single site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's still true when you're in incognito mode. What's more is your home internet provider, I'm talking about Comcast, AT&T, or whatever, can also see and record your browsing data. ExpressVPN is an application, it's an app, that encrypts all of your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so your private online activity says just that, private. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices and it's super easy to use. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Charlie. Use my link at expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more. War. What is it good for? The way the song goes is people say absolutely nothing. War is good for one thing. War is a distraction, and war gives you an excuse to hold on to power. It's obviously best demonstrated in the Roman Republic when Julius Caesar was able to create the idea of a permanent dictator because of war powers. Those used to be temporary war powers and then permanent war powers. You see, the threat of the other, the threat of being killed, the threat of being blown up, the threat of conflict, otherwise known as endless war, gives the entrenched bureaucracy, gives the operating class an excuse to exist and never have to give up their power. The Democrats are constantly evolving and adapting. They have realized that the appetite for a foreign war in Iraq or Afghanistan, Libya or Syria in a conventional way is at a record low. And so they have partnered, of course, with the New York Times 1619 Project to, of course, over-racialize everything. The George Floyd incident played into this, and they have a new war. This war is not going to actually require a pitch at the United Nations. It's not going to require Colin Powell lying to the rest of the world. It's not going to require Condoleezza Rice misleading the American people. It's not going to require Dick Cheney to get his Halliburton corporate contractors in line. It's not going to require George Bush forgetting what he said yesterday. No. Instead, this war, which is nothing more than a perpetual ability to hold on to power, is the national strategy for countering domestic terrorism. This is their new war. The same national security apparatus that otherwise would be building schools in the Kandahar Valley or electric car stations that will never be used in southern Iraq. Meanwhile, our kids can't read, can't eat, and our cities are falling apart. The power grabbers know that conflict is a great way to stay important. When you have peace, leaders tend to be de-emphasized. But when you have conflict, whoever's in charge becomes really, really important. So this new national strategy for countering domestic terrorism, as published by the Biden White House, will send chills down your spine. We're going to post that on charliekirk.com, and we're going to cover it in great detail. And Tucker Carlson ties it all together. And God bless this man. He is a gift. He talks about things that no one else will talk about. And I just want to say thank you for what he's been able to do here. You'll see what I mean. Cut 41. Play tape.
So because of January 6th, says the chief law enforcement officer in the United States of America and many other members of Joe Biden's cabinet, we must now use law enforcement and military force to arrest, imprison, and otherwise crush anyone who leads opposition to Joe Biden's government. That's their position. They say that out loud. They did today. So what is this exactly? Well, it's a big change in the way the United States government assesses and then treats its own citizens.
This essentially means that the new war will not be against Saddam Hussein. It will not be against Osama bin Laden, ISIS, or Al-Qaeda. It will not be against the CCP or Bashar al-Assad. It will not be in the Persian Gulf War. It will not be to try to intervene at the Libyan Civil War. No, the new war is against you. The new war that's being waged is against Christians. It's against those of you that have the Make America Great Again hats at the top level of your, maybe in the top of your closet. It's against those of you that don't think the Democrats should hold on to power permanently. Tucker Carlson plays a clip of Vladimir Putin questioning if American officials assassinated Ashley Babbitt. Who did kill Ashley Babbitt? Are we allowed to ask that question? Play cut 42.
Is I want to ask you, did you order the assassination of the woman who walked into the Congress and who was shot and killed by a policeman? Do you know that 450 individuals were arrested after entering the Congress, and they didn't go there to steal a laptop? They came with political demands.
Okay, so yeah, we just played tape of Vladimir Putin. Now, under normal circumstances, we would never play tape of a foreign adversary criticizing our government. But honestly, those are fair questions. Who did shoot Ashley Babbitt, and why don't we know?
In a strange turn of events, Vladimir Putin cares more about the well-being of Americans than Joe Biden does. That's weird. Why is Vladimir Putin saying true things about our citizen getting killed in the U.S. Capitol building and people being imprisoned? Isn't that our attorney general's job? Not Vladimir Putin, who, by the way, is a thug. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Not exactly have a soft spot for Vladimir Putin. But why is he saying things that are true about our own ability to go after political dissidents? If this happened in Russia, we would sanction them. If Vladimir Putin imprisoned hundreds of protesters that stormed the Kremlin with no chance of bail, we would sanction them. Tucker Carlson continues by questioning, why are there so many questions and why are they hiding the documents that matter? Cut 43.
And speaking of January 6th, why are there still so many things, basic factual matters that we don't understand about that day? Why is the Biden administration preventing us from knowing? Why is the administration still hiding more than 10,000 hours of surveillance tape from the U.S. Capitol on January 6th? What could possibly be the reason for that? Even as they call for more openness, we need to get to the bottom of it. They could release those tapes today, but they're not. Why?
Why are they hiding this? And then the real question and the kicker that has Tucker Carlson trending on every single social media platform that has calls for cancellation, the likes of which we have not seen for quite some time. Tucker Carlson asks the most obvious question. Why is it that there might be this effort? There might have been this effort to infiltrate all of these groups. And is the government hiding the identity of the officers that actually might have participated in the riot? Let me say that again. What if I told you our own taxpayer dollars was part of the effort to orchestrate this? Now, this is called a false flag operation. If you believe this, I'm not saying that the proof is there. Here's what we know. We know that there are unindicted co-conspirators, which means that there were people that did the same thing that the solitary confinement people did, but they're not in jail and they're not named. We know that we don't know who killed Ashley Babbitt. I know that sounds weird. We know that we don't know, but we know that. We know that the FBI is holding back 14,000 hours of footage. And we also know that they're hiding the identity of many officers on duty that day that actually participated in the riot. Why? Cut 44.
We know that the government is hiding the identity of many law enforcement officers who were present at the Capitol on January 6th, not just the one who killed Ashley Babbitt. According to the government's own court filings, those law enforcement officers participated in the riot, sometimes in violent ways. We know that because, without fail, the government has thrown the book at most people who were present in the Capitol on January 6th. There was a nationwide dragnet to find them. And many of them are still in solitary confinement tonight. But strangely, some of the key people who participated on January 6th have not been charged.
Why is that? The key people that have participated have not been charged. Well, in another tape, Tucker talked about the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping scheme, where half of the people that were involved in that kidnapping scheme actually worked for the federal government, either as informants or as agents. That's a pretty important piece of information to know. What was the federal government's involvement on January the 6th? What was the federal government's involvement in orchestrating all of that? What was the federal government's participation? Was this a scheme? We don't know. That's in the category of we don't know. But let me tell you something that is likely true. What is likely true is that there were people on government taxpayer-funded payroll that were there, that were in the crowd, that knew what was about to happen. Or were they the ones pushing forward for it to happen? Play this cut that shows the point of the Gretchen Whitmer situation. Play tape.
There's a huge difference between using an informant to find out what a group you find threatening might do and paying people to help organize a violent action, which is what happened, apparently, according to government documents, on January 6th. That's a line, and the FBI has crossed it. And it's not the first time they crossed that line in Michigan. Remember that plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer? We heard a lot about that, and Whitmer was able to cover some of her own incompetence, though not all, by pointing to the fact that she's now a victim.
It goes on to say that half of the people out of four, two of them were on FBI payroll. Play cut 45. Tucker asks, how have the unidentified co-conspirators, have they still not been charged for the exact same crime? Play cut 45.
So FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, according to government documents. And those two are not alone. In all, Revolver News reported there are, quote, upwards of 20 unindicted co-conspirators in the Oath Keeper indictments, all playing various roles in the conspiracy, who have not been charged for virtually the exact same activities, and in some cases, much, much more severe activities, as those named alongside them in the indictments.
I want to play just the beginning part of that, replay that tape, and I want you to listen carefully to the first part of what he said. The FBI organized. Play tape.
So FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, according to
government documents. You would say, or you would see, that that would be the biggest story on the planet. Bigger than the Wuhan leak, at least for the time being, because according to our own government, the Chinese Communist Party is not the biggest threat to our country. Confucius Institutes are not the biggest threat to our country. Cyber attacks from China are not the biggest threat to our country. No, it's the guy in West Virginia that has a Trump hat. That's the biggest threat to our country. If Tucker's wrong, release the tapes. Release all the tapes. Instead of Watergate, why don't we call it Capitol Gate tapes? Why don't we see all of the tapes? We've seen for ourselves in certain places, Capitol Police officers opening doors. If we're wrong and our questions are baseless, then show us the evidence. Because right now there are dozens of people that are rotting away in prison with all their constitutional and human rights put aside based on this idea that this was the largest attack ever on American democracy. Crime is up, rape is up, murders are up, arson is up. Gang violence is up in cities across the country. Inflation is up. But our leaders say that domestic terrorism led by white supremacists is the greatest threat to our nation. You know that's not true. You know you are being lied to. In cut 46, Tucker Carlson plays the clip of Amy Klobuchar and Christopher Wray on how if there's a threat of this magnitude, you could be darn tootin' that the focus will be on to get better sources, information, analysis, and potential infiltration. Cut 46.
There must be moments where you think if we would have known, if we could have infiltrated this group or found out what they were doing. And that, do you have those moments?
So anytime there's an attack, especially one that's this horrific, that strikes right at the heart of our system of government, right at the time the transfer of power is being discussed, you can be darn tootin' that we are focused very, very hard on how can we get better sources, better information, better analysis, so that we can make sure that something like what happened on January 6th never happens again.
So let's play a game. I'm going to say a quote, and I want you guys to guess who said this quote. Can we get the Jeopardy music going, maybe? The goal is to squelch dissent against the regime, even people in elected office. Did Kim Jong-un say that? How about Bashar al-Assad? Bad guy, right? We hate him. Vladimir Putin. Xi Jinping. Or how about, what's some other third-rate, third-world dictator, tyrant, despot? Any one of them. Was that Assad? Maduro. Did Maduro say that? Let me say the quote again. The goal is to squelch dissent against the regime, even people in elected office. Was it Castro? Maduro? Assad? I want you guys to email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Who said that? Who said the goal is to squelch dissent against the regime, even people in elected office? All right, final answer? Nope. Here is the answer. What is the former assistant director to the FBI? He said that on cable television, and no one blinked an eye. The former assistant director to the FBI, Frank Fagazzulli, whoever that is, went on television and he said, the goal of this is to squelch dissent against the regime, even people in elected office. That's literally what they said. He said that the goal of this entire domestic terror operation is to try to go after people that disagree with the party, that disagree with Joe Biden and his views, and disagree with the Democrat Party. That's Frank Fagazzulli, who used to run the FBI. Let's go and play cut 61 of Tucker Carlson quoting Trevor Ahrens's book, stating that 50 defendants were on trial because of events not only encouraged but enabled by the FBI. Cut 61.
Trevor Ahrens wrote a book on this called The Terror Factory, and it analyzed every terror prosecution from 2001 to 2013. Ahrenson found that at least 50 defendants were on trial because of behavior that the FBI had not only encouraged but enabled. FBI agents were essentially the plotters in these crimes. They made the crimes crimes.
And who's actually overseeing this? Well, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, Susan Collins and all the moderates, you guys could be heroes. You could be heroes right now if there was a new church committee. The goal is to crush dissent, obviously. Who said that? Not Maduro, not Assad. No. Former director of the FBI. Play tape.
What have we learned from our experience with international terrorism? In order to address that problem, arresting low-level operatives is merely a speed bump, not a roadblock. In order to really tackle terrorism, and this time domestically, you've got to attack and dismantle the command and control element of a terrorist group. That may mean people sitting in Congress right now.
Just remove lawmakers, obviously. I mean, the real problem is not Al-Qaeda. The real problem is not ISIS. The real problem is not Xi Jinping. The real problem is Lo and Boebert. That's the problem. According to this guy, the real problem is not Maduro. It's not Castro. No. The real problem, the actual threat of white supremacy, is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Get rid of her. New church committee is needed. And as we wind down last couple seconds, what else is happening that's actually a simulation? What else is happening that's a lie that's funded by your tax dollars? That's a conversation for another time. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Thanks so much. Speak to you soon.